Its deck was filled with metal containers piled 8 high. As many containers were below deck as above it. 3 cranes, 80 meters tall, sat idly alongside. Their loading job was done. Within a few weeks, thousands of consumers would be using stuff taken from one of those containers. The world economy involves this mixture of the big and the small on a daily basis. The monetary sums involved are so vast, trillions of dollars, that it's easy to forget that the items themselves are the ones we use every day. The food we eat, the clothes we wear, the devices we use. No man is an economic island. Around 90% of world trade is carried by ship. In Felixstowe, metal boxes are piled along the dockside as far as the eye can see. In the course of a working day, 2,000 lorries arrive to deposit goods for export and then trek out again with imported materials. The port also has 3 railway terminals which carry about half of all the cargo. At the end of one line, I watch a feat of engineering magic as a traverser, the only one in the country, slides an engine sideways. This allows the train to reverse direction and pick up a new load at the end of a different line. These small triumphs of ingenuity are needed to bring the goods to your house, and they have deep historical roots. There are huge ports like Felixstowe dotted across the globe. Singapore's Deepwater Harbour is one reason why Sir Stamford Raffles chose it as a base for British trading in 1819. Another reason is its strategic location at the southeastern end of the Strait of Malacca, between the Malay Peninsula and Sumatra. Any boat wanting to travel from the Indian Ocean to the South China Sea needs to go through the strait. Today, the port is the 2nd busiest in the world, and Singapore is one of the planet's most prosperous nations, thanks to its position at the heart of Asian trade and finance. Shipping containers are so uniform in appearance that it's difficult to tell what's inside them. But in Singapore, it was possible to catch a glimpse of what the ships were actually carrying. Lined up on the quay were Toyotas and Hondas made in Asia and on the way to Europe, Mercedes and BMWs made in Europe and on the way to China, and Mitsubishi pickup trucks en route to the Middle East. The biggest ships can carry up to 8,000 cars apiece, and 1.1 million vehicles pass through the port each year. The trade that passes through Felixstowe, Singapore, and dozens of other ports every day keeps the global economy humming, and it forms part of an extraordinarily complex network. It's not just finished goods that are imported and exported, but components and raw materials. An iPhone includes displays made in Japan and South Africa, and sensors made in Taiwan, as well as other components made in Germany, France, Italy, and the Netherlands. These parts are made from raw materials that come from Africa or South America, and the whole thing is assembled in China. And yet, the iPhone is widely thought of as a quintessentially US product. Humans have been trading for thousands of years. It's a different business from sharing, which, after all, wild animals do. A pride of lions will share a kill. It's also different from symbiosis. The pilot fish eats the shark's parasites, and in return is left uneaten by the shark. Trade requires the conscious recognition of a mutually beneficial exchange. You have something I want, I have something you want. Perhaps my apple tree bears more fruit than I can eat before it rots, and your hens lay more eggs than you can manage for breakfast. It makes sense to swap. This kind of deal seems uniquely human. As the great economist Adam Smith remarked, nobody ever saw a dog make a fair and deliberate exchange of one bone for another with another dog. However, chimps will trade grooming for food, and in one experiment, capuchin monkeys were given silver discs as a currency and used it to buy sex. At the global level, trade occurs because resources are unevenly distributed. Some areas of the globe are rich in minerals. Some have the sunny conditions required to grow fruit or cotton. Others have the vast plains that can grow wheat. Over time, some cultures have benefited from their expertise in making pottery, textiles, or manufactured goods. They make what they are good at and then exchange the surplus with other places that are good at making or growing something else. Early trade may have started as mutual gift-giving,